Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got an on?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
a voice crack, aka love,
and life in New York City.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. Welcome back to Drama.
Yes, Dylan, what's the tea?
It has been a really great week, and the last time that we recorded, we were in between parts of The Inheritance.
Yes.
And I feel like that whole interview was a daze for me because I was stuck in this theater realm that... But then Aisha came in, and she just was an incredible guest. And Aisha, we just want to say we love you. The feedback we've gotten on your episode is incredible. I know that you listen to every episode, but
she's listening right now.
I know.
I know. The Inheritance was so good.
Yeah, we had a really great week.
Sobbing part two.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like shaking and like being dramatic. It was like tears just streaming down my face.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
So we had an amazing week. Just to kick off 2020.
Yes.
My boyfriend was in town, and he left on Thursday, which I'm sad. We do long distance. So, but we got to see a bunch of great shows. We saw The Lightning Thief as well.
Fun.
Both parts of The Inheritance and Jagged Little Pill.
Yes. It was like too much. I need a break.
I know. Now I'm like, I'm good for the month.
I know.
What did you think? What was your favorite of the lineup?
The Inheritance. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so good. The performances were amazing. I thought the writing was great. The direction. I mean, like I said, there were tears streaming down my face the last 30 minutes of part two. But I think I'm also such a sensitive soul. And so it was just really affecting me. And I think it is 6.5 hours of theater, but the story is so compelling and the performances are so great that it really keeps you invested in. By the end of it, you love all of them.
Yes.
And they're so like fully realized. The characters are. It's really great. Mm-hmm. I loved it. What about you? What'd you think?
I mean, obviously The Inheritance, it might be one of my favorite things I've seen in like the last year or two, but I will say I've been sad reading up on it that the representation of having openly gay actors in the show isn't as strong as I would have hoped.
I know. The diversity in the show in general is not...
Yeah, but all that being said, I thought the writing was brilliant. It was a great show. I loved Jagged Little Pill. Our former guest, Antonio Cipriano, was phenomenal. And I thought that it was like a really cool way of them doing the jukebox thing.
Yeah. I mean...
Which I love, a
you
good jukebox.
You cannot deny the score, the music that Alanis wrote. Like, you ought to know, you learn.
Oh, yeah, it's powerful. And the way that they wove in the original story, it kind of gave me, like, Next to Normal vibes at times, like the whole modern American family type situation.
Yeah, it was great.
I loved it.
God, I feel like so much has happened. The Golden Globes were last week.
What were your thoughts? We're big awards people. I don't know if our guest is.
I know. I love it. It was great. I mean, I'm not a Ricky Gervais fan, but I thought it was great that Awkwafina won in her category. I'm pretty sure she's the first Asian American actress to be nominated and to win in that category. So it was awesome. She's amazing. Seriously.
Come on.
She's really having her moment. She's got her show coming out on Comedy Central. Nora from Queens.
She's hysterical.
Yeah.
She stole Crazy Rich Asians for me.
I know. She's so
great. And obviously, Michelle Williams with the best speech of the night for Fosse Verdon.
Yeah. Which our guest has a tie-in
special
here.
Connection today. We'll get to that. And then I love every time Olivia Colman gets up there and speaks, she just gives the best speeches.
She's so cute.
And I just finished the third season of The Crown last night.
Oh, what'd you think? I haven't
it's
seen
great.
It yet.
She does the job. She's great in the role. It wasn't as compelling as the first two seasons, but I still really enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. How's Helena Bonham Carter?
She's great. Again, Vanessa Kirby, who played Princess Margaret in the first two seasons, she really stole the focus in all of the scenes that she was in. And I feel as though Helena Bonham Carter doesn't get that chance, but she certainly has her moments.
Okay, The Crown, I love. Mm-hmm. It's boring to me at times, but season two, there's that episode where Princess Margaret meets that... Is he a photographer?
Yeah,
I watched it
Tony,
so long ago. Tony, and he's super hot. But it's kind of a bottle episode about her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think it's the best episode of The Crown.
Yeah.
She's so... Vanessa Kirby really... She did the work.
She did.
You know, it's a good episode. I love that show.
You know who else season 3 does the work?
Who, Dylan? Tell me.
Our guest today.
Yes, God.
I'm going to read him in. Read the credits.
Read him in.
So our guest today is a dreamy, dashing, and beyond talented star who got his start touring the country in Fosse after being discovered by the Anne Reinking. He's gone on to be a mainstay on the boards in Oklahoma, Urban Cowboy, Hairspray, The Boy from Oz, the iconic Christina Applegate revival of Sweet Charity, the revival of A Chorus Line,
yes.
On the Town, and in a timely credit as Rum Tum Tugger in Cats, for which he was nominated for a Cheater Rivera Award for Outstanding Male Dancer in a Broadway Show.
Yes.
He also recently choreographed Ms. Kristen Chenoweth's recent Broadway engagement.
I'm shaking.
He's been seen in like a dozen television shows, including Fosse Verdon, which we mentioned, Elementary, The Blacklist, and the acclaimed soap opera, One Life to Live. He was heralded as Broadway's sexiest man alive in 2016, and yes, 2017. Please welcome to drama,
Tyler Haynes.
Wow. Hi, guys.
Is it all true?
Yes, it is.
It's true, all of it.
Rumors are true.
Wow. Welcome. Thanks for hanging out with
Thank
us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Oh my God, we're so excited. So Broadway's Sexiest Man Alive 2016 and 17. That's hard to get. Not everybody has that.
Yeah, I think my mom just like got all her friends together and just they just got to work.
So it's like a fan vote thing?
I think so. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was very flattering and I kind of feel awkward talking about it because it was just something that I was like, huh?
I know,
and
that's
then,
so funny.
The next year I was like, wait, what?
I saw that on your website, or not your website, online, and I was like, oh my God, that is so funny.
Yeah, it is.
So that was when you were in Cats?
Yes, yeah.
For both of them?
Yes.
Okay, wow, so you really maintained as Rum Tum Tugger. They loved that.
I mean, there's some furries out there or something because they came through.
They really did.
They came through.
Yeah.
Well, and Cats, of course, is out now. The movie.
It is.
Did you go see it?
I did. I saw it the day after Christmas.
Oh, so did we.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I had a great time.
Yeah.
I thought it was fully crazy, but very fun.
It should be crazy.
Exactly.
I mean, the show is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first trailer came out, and people were all up in arms about it. And for me, I was like, nah, this is what I thought it would be because it's just a weird show. And so in making this movie, they already recorded the Broadway show back in 98.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad that they switched some things up because, like, why do it if you're just going to recreate something that's already been filmed?
Yes.
And, you know, and I think that I personally, in watching the film, there were a lot of things that I really, I don't know, it was just fun. I enjoyed
yes.
it. I have friends in the movie, and I thought they were great. And, you know, there were some things that, like, I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so, too. 100%. We're on the same page.
Yeah, it's like you know what exactly our thoughts are, because it's just fun.
Yeah.
And Cats is a wild show, but it's famously iconic and for being just kind of wild and mysterious. And,
yeah.
I mean, I remember reading that the original production, when they kind of made the announcement that it was coming to Broadway, all they did was they put up the sign of the eyes.
Yeah.
And everyone knew, oh my gosh, what is this? What is this thing mm-hmm. that's coming? And it was already famous for being in London at the
right.
time. So, and it is that. It's mysterious. I thought the tone was great. I talked about this in the last week's episode, but I thought Taylor Swift was truly wild in the movie, and she really delivered. Yeah. So it was fun. And your role, Rum Tum Tugger, was played mm-hmm. by Jason Derulo.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm still sad we didn't get a cast album from your revival.
Yeah, I think we were, too.
Yeah.
It was interesting because with Cats, and I'll say this, when I saw the show as a kid, it was something that was built up. I feel like that was the first theater thing. I didn't see the show, but just seeing the posters all around Atlanta when it was in town. The first song I ever danced to when I was a little boy, like we used to have these recitals in my garage. I'm one of seven kids. And so
Aww.
My sisters would always like do dance recitals in our garage, and they were in dance, and we had relatives in town, and I wanted to be a part of it, but they wouldn't allow it. So I choreographed a solo at like 6 years old.
Whoa.
Put on my sister's black unitard and choreographed a solo to Memory. I wish I would,
oh my God.
I would have known what it was, because I'm like this little kid in this unitard just dancing to Memory. Not, I don't know, but
was
my
it like
mom,
a contemporary number?
I'm sure it was,
yeah,
it was something.
Yeah.
But I remember my mom, the thing I remember was my mom and my relatives were all very teary during it, and looking back I'm like, well, it's because her little boy's, you know, flitting around. But
yeah.
No, not at all. She was just like, you just connected to the song in such a way that was very surprising.
Yeah.
And that's when, from that moment on, that's when I got into dance class. So then full circle moment when this kind of came around. And when I saw the show in high school, and I didn't like the show. Okay. I didn't, because I was just like, it's just a bunch of singing and dancing cats. Mm-hmm. Like, and then I tried to revisit it a couple years later when I saw it somewhere else, and I still just wasn't a fan. And then when I was cast in the show, I just instantly, like, day one, because it's one of those things that if you do the show, you have to commit to it. You just have to.
Right.
You can't, you're playing a cat. This is the world that you're going to be in. And so you know, if you have any hesitation or embarrassment about being a cat or, you know, wearing what you're wearing and whatnot, then don't do it. You know, as an actor, this is what you're signing up for. And so I knew once I was in the show, I was like, all right, we're doing it. And then I fell in love with the show. It was so much fun. And I don't know. And I think with all of us, we were just expecting that to happen. Sure. And I remember the first press thing that we did, I think it was like Good Morning America, and a group of us were like sitting on top of the tire. And so we were like, so when are we like cutting the album? And then our stage manager, Ira Mont, was like, oh no, that's not happening. And we're like, wait, what do you mean?
Aww.
And he was like, because they already have a bunch of, you know, albums out of it, which they don't, but it's all good.
They don't. It's one of those kind of things, a piecemeal.
Yeah. And yeah. I think with our revival, it kind of... It was around for a year and a half, and some people would say that's not successful. I think that's successful.
Absolutely.
Oh, totally.
But I think a lot of people, it brought in a new audience, and I think a lot of that was in part to the, we did a Broadway.com vlog series.
Yes.
And so that reached a new generation of followers. But the ad campaign was the exact same as what it was before, and I think a lot of people just thought Cats had never left.
Right, okay.
And so they didn't know that it was like something new. And Cats is one of, it's a very polarizing show. People either like love it or hate it. And I've been on both sides of the fence with it. And that's why seeing this movie and watching people come for it, and it's not, especially like when they come for the actors, I'm like, that's not on them. They're doing their gig. And like my buddy, Robbie Fairchild, plays Monkey Strap in it.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
And he's great.
Oh, yeah.
And he's great. But there's a certain amount of like backlash that comes with just being a part of that show. And I think for me, like, I'm the type of person, I just want to see things thrive because I know the work that goes into it, especially that. And they were out there filming for a long time and working their tails off. That was so stupid, but I had to. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that people have to, I don't know. I support that film. It isn't everybody's cup of tea. I get that. But, you know, like, it's happened. So
I know. I'm with you. And I think there aren't any other musicals that came out this year.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No.
I support, you know, that I would have... I mean, I did enjoy the movie, but I think as a little kid, I would have loved...
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, seeing actors that I know and don't know and maybe would fall in love with. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think we need to continue to bring musicals and the arts. You know, it's like with the live musicals that they do on ABC and NBC and Fox. I support all of them. I'm like, do it. It's awesome. It's an event. I don't think we have enough event-type programming anymore. I mean, aside from maybe Vanderpump Rules, but, you know, but you know what I mean. When it comes to musicals, I think it's great.
You mentioned that there was that web series that you did. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it called What's New, Pussycat?
It was.
Yeah. I remember watching that.
It was.
That was the summer that we moved to New York the first time.
No way.
And we tried so hard to get and see it when Leona Lewis was still in it. But then we saw it with Mamie Paris, and oh my God.
She's amazing.
How did she sing Memory? Like, and she's belting at the top. Like, that was
she
one
was
of the
great.
Most emotional performances I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She was phenomenal.
She's amazing. Mamie, so first let me say, Leona Lewis is wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice girl. We had a great time. I got to know her. And like,
how wild.
And it was just, you know, it was just kind of, she got thrust into this, not only theater world, but this Cats world for the first 2 weeks. Like, we just spent so much time crawling around and improvising and doing all these like trust exercises, and so I was always like, I wonder what she's thinking right now. It's like, you just have to say yes. And she was great. But she was only signed on for a couple of months. She was actually the first cast member to leave. And I remember, you know, leading up to her departure, we were all like, all right, who's it going to be?
Yeah, that was
like,
a big thing.
And so that was like, I know for me and Ricky Ubeda, who was Mistopheles, who we shared a dressing room. He's a good buddy of mine.
Aww.
And I remember us like talking about like this or that, or like, I think for me, I was like, I want Heather Headley.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Like, and then they announced Mamie, and I had actually worked at Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera a couple summers before, and she did the show right after. And okay. So I had met her in passing, and I knew who she was. And when they announced her, I got super excited because I'm just a fan of her work.
Right.
And she came in and just elevated the role to a different level. Mm-hmm. And she's got these chords of steel. Yeah. And the thing that she made really cool are things she became known for, and that's with her interpretation of Memory, was her breath support. She did the whole last part just in one breath. And I remember her put in rehearsal, like I was sitting on top of the oven. And I was like, when's she gonna breathe? She's not breathing. She didn't take a breath. And it was so, that was impressive, mm-hmm. aside from her talent. But she's, best thing about Mamie is she's just a great leader. She is a wonderful girl. She has a really, she's just not an alien. She's a cool girl. And
I
so
love
like
that.
And that was the thing, not only with her, but with that cast, like it was, I feel like we like survived, went into battle together. And
oh,
so
yeah.
Like we came out stronger and closer, and you know, and it was a good group of people.
I love that.
We loved the production.
Yeah,
so
it was
much.
Great. You were amazing.
Thanks.
Yes, you were phenomenal. The way your rock star entrance was one of the coolest things about that show.
Thank you.
The whole costume and everything that you had going on was great.
Thanks so much. Thank you. We loved it.
Tyler, I'm wondering something else.
Okay.
Are you well?
Am I well, like in life?
Just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm well. Yes. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
You sure seem well.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know, that's a very like simple question, but not a lot of people ask that.
Yeah.
They're always like, what are you doing? Blah, 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 instead of like, are you happy? Like, how are you doing? So thank you for asking.
Of
I'm
course.
Doing well.
Good.
Thank
I'm glad
so
to
much.
Hear it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier when you were a kid, you really connected to this performance of Memory and it kind of got you into dancing. This kind of leads into another question we like to ask our guests revolving around your Ring of Keys moment. I'm not sure if that was it, but do you have that moment in your life when you thought, okay, this is the arts, this is the entertainment world, dance, singing, this is something I need to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have two.
Awesome.
So like I said, I have a big family, and my little sister was a child actor. And so down in Atlanta, I think it's still around, but there was like this production company called Theater of the Stars. And so they would, at the fabulous Fox Theater, they would always do shows there. And my little sister kind of fell into the acting game really early on and was a successful child actor down there. And so she was cast in a production of Annie there. And I think she was like maybe 9, and I'm 2 years older than her. And so watching her like go on that ride, and I remember watching, being at her opening night and watching from the audience, and like the curtain came up and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. I just was like, I feel like that was the moment when I got like bit by the bug.
Oh yeah.
But the difference with my sister and I, was she was talented. And so I would follow her to auditions, and I just kind of was like riding her coattails. And I was also an awkward kid, so whatever, but I was in dance class, and it was just something that I always had, that I saw her doing it and I wanted to do it. It didn't come as easy to me as it did for her, but I was determined. And so that was something, and I think dealing with rejection at a young age for me helped prepare me for this life.
It's so important.
Yeah, because it's just, you're constantly having people judge you every mm-hmm. single day, no matter where you're at in your career. It's like, you know, if you get to one level, then you got to get to the next level. But on the way there, you have still different obstacles and new obstacles. And I always call them like sexy problems, because it's like you get to one place and you're like, cool, well, now I have people looking at me like this. But then, I can't get into this room or whatever. And then there are people that are still like, well, at least you're getting... And I'm like, no, they're sexy problems.
Yeah.
Totally sexy problems. I get it. But that was the first moment. The second moment when... So then I went to a performing arts high school in Georgia called Pebble Brook High School, where there are a lot of really successful actors working on Broadway now, and TV and film. And I did show choir.
Great. Very glee of you.
Yeah, very glee. Totally.
But pre-glee.
We don't, the thing is, so at my high school, they didn't like calling it show choir because we were called company and it was next level. But I was, we're, it's show choir.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be real. So, so we would take a trip. They still do it every January. They take a trip to New York City. And my sophomore year was my first time ever coming to New York City. And I remember we came here, and Chicago had been open, but I think Bebe Neuwirth had left, but she came back in. And I remember I really wanted to see it. We were on the second row, and when she came up, Velma's first entrance is in the middle of the stage, and she's like giving you like iconic Fosse Porter bra coming up, lighting on the bum 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 bum. And in that moment, I was on the second row, and I was like, that's it. I want that. I want that moment. Like I want, and that. So that's when I was like, this is what I want for my life's work.
Mm-hmm.
So those moments, you know, and there are other moments here and there, but those are the two that really stand out as like chapter one and then chapter two.
I love that. As we were talking about Glee and show choir, I'm thinking how crazy that for a couple years, the show Glee was like the biggest show.
Yeah.
Ever. Like
totally.
A show about a high school show choir.
Totally.
And of course that clicked for me at like 15, closeted self, like, oh my God, obsessed with it. That was a moment in time.
Yeah.
A moment in time.
Totally.
But I guess I'm not fully surprised that it was as successful as it was, simply because I think at that moment we were starved for anything musical content in general. Like the era of American Idol and The Voice was kind of, it was still big, but there was nothing scripted. And even like movie musicals weren't really, during those couple years, 2009 on, I feel like Glee really got people excited about cover songs, everything again, you know?
Totally.
Anyway. So
Bebe makes her entrance.
Yeah.
You eventually get to make entrances like that, like in Cats and stuff. That's so cool. But then, so you got your start touring in Fosse.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ultimately work on the Fosse Verdon TV show. What was that experience like?
So, Fosse Verdon. So, I was at the spring gala for New York City Ballet. Andy Blankenbuehler, who choreographed Cats.
Right.
We were there supporting Georgina Pascogan, who was Victoria the White Cat, who dances with City Ballet. And we're just sitting there watching the show. And so he was like, I have something I want to tell you, but you can't tell anyone. And he was like, so this is what's about to happen, and I'm producing this. And I freaked out because I have a background in that world because of Fosse.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I have to be on the show. I don't care what it is. So then a couple months later, they had a series of auditions, and it was every dancer in New York came out, and people flew in from LA, and it was really, really cool. And then, so that was that. And then I knew kind of for me, I was on hold for a couple different things, but they didn't pan out because, you know, casting's always changing their mind of like, there was one role I was up for, and then they were like, never mind, you don't really look like the person, or this or that. And for me, I wanted to be a part of the show.
Right.
I would have done any, it didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I just was like, I have to be a part of this show because Bob Fosse is one of my idols.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I was supposed to do one episode, and then they called me in and they were like, we want you to sing these songs. And I was like, well, that's Billy Flynn. And they were like, yeah, it's Jerry Orbach. And I was like, I just started laughing because I was like, well, I look nothing like that at all. And I had to put myself on tape, and I had to sing All I Care About Is Love. And I had to sing We Both Reach for the Gun.
Right.
And I had a sock puppet that I made look like Gwen Verdon. Like, I got, like, ribbon and whatever, because I was just like, all right, I'm going to make this choice.
Yeah.
But I also thought, I was like, everyone's going to do this.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Come on. And then I did, and then I found out that I was doing it, that I got the part.
Oh, wow.
And my first day, because I came into rehearsal, and I worked with Michelle. Michelle and I had a couple of rehearsals alone.
Okay.
And Susie Meisner, because at that point, Andy Blankenbuehler had departed the production to go do Cats. And so then Susie Meisner, who played Joe McCracken on the show, took over as choreographer.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Unreal.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, she's unreal. She's, and if for audiences who don't know who she is, she's an incredible actress. She was in The Americans. But the thing most people are, for me, I'm the biggest fan of her work in Chicago. She's the first girl in Cell Block Tango, the leg that into his head.
Okay.
And so that's iconic within itself. She's so talented and such a dream to work with. So her and Marianne Lamb, another Broadway icon, and Brandon Leffler, we were in the room working, and both of them were like, so your audition? I was like, what? And she was like, well, everyone loved it because of that sock puppet. And so I was like, well, the sock puppet worked.
Yeah, there you go. You made your choice.
I guess so.
Choices.
But it was just, yeah, it was really cool. And Michelle was so much fun. And
I love
just
that.
So down to earth. And, you know, I got to know her and just our rehearsals and kind of creating what that was going to be. And then, just kind of filming the show. The thing for me, I geeked out the most my first day of filming, because we filmed over a couple of days, and the first day was we were filming the Chicago opening night party. And so we're on set in Gwen's apartment, and there's one scene that it's like Gwen and Bob and Neil Simon and Ann Reinking, mm-hmm. and Cheetah Rivera, myself, and I'm just like looking around, because I remember when Michelle first came on set, and she was like Gwen the whole time. And right before, when I got cast in Fosse, Gwen had passed away a couple weeks later.
Okay.
But she came down. I did this program called the Broadway Theater Project that Ann Reinking ran. And so Gwen came down and was there and taught us. And she actually was a part of me being cast. So I got to meet her and work with her for a little bit. And then seeing Michelle just on set, it was crazy. But I remember this moment in the scene, I was like looking around and I was geeking out, because I was like, in this weird alternate universe right now, you are with these people as this person. And I was just, I was trying to like play it cool, but yeah. I could not, because I was like, this is crazy. And it was just, it was cool. It was a huge... I don't know. It was a highlight for me. It was awesome.
Well, you deserved it. It was so cool seeing people like you on there and just being like, oh my God, like there's actual theater people. And everything. It was just a brilliant show overall.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
You were fantastic.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, it was so, so fun.
Thank you.
I want to see more little peeks into different relationships through theater and Broadway history. Yeah. I'd love to see another show.
I know. Like
that. They're doing Ryan Murphy's doing a Chorus Line one.
Oh, that's
Netflix,
right.
That yes. I'm really curious about what that's going to be, because it's over a series of a couple episodes. So I'm fascinated. And Wayne Cilento, who is a good friend and mentor of mine, who was the original Mike, him and I were talking about it, because I was like, what are they going to do? And he was like, well, I don't know. Nobody's talked to me.
Oh.
And I was like, well, maybe they should. Maybe they should play you, even though I look
Wayne Cilento choreographed Sweet Charity.
He did.
And Wicked, among many other things, right? Yeah. So wait, really quick before we move on to Charity, because I want to talk about that, but a Chorus Line.
Uh-huh.
You were Larry in this revival, which we missed. I don't know how we missed it. But every little step obviously happened and everything, but the Tony's performance, where you were like the first thing people see. That is, what was that experience
that.
Like doing the Tony's?
It was cool. It was, the whole experience of A Chorus Line was, it was, I don't know, it was the first time I'd ever really been a part of something that had this, like, a certain amount of, it just has this history. Mm-hmm. And,
oh, yeah.
And I just remember leading up to them just announcing, they made this big deal of announcing the cast, like for the press, where it was like one by one in costume. And and we just, you know, like it was really, they made us feel very fancy. And then when the Tonys, so that was like, the Tonys happened about like 9 months into our run
or
whatever. And just the rehearsal, I mean, they blocked off like Fifth Avenue and we filmed the outside portion right after the show, and it was like 11 o'clock at night. Marvin Hamlisch is on the roof playing the piano for his segment. Yeah. And then it was fun. It was cool. It was also like, I've told this story before, but where I was kind of positioned in the lineup of that, I was dancing on a pothole the whole time.
Oh.
And so I was just like, don't fall. Even though it wasn't live or anything.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, people throwing balls at you.
And you're
like, all right, let me catch them. But it was really cool. But the best part was then when the actual telecast happened, we did the one segment.
Yes.
And we came up from the elevator at Radio City Music Hall. Yeah. And it was just the way that the crowd welcomed us and
they screamed.
Responded. It was just such a... It was like the cherry on top of it all, because, You know, it was a, let me say this about A Chorus Line. A Chorus Line is a really, it's a hard show. It's a hard show. And that production of it, I mean, that cast was unreal.
Oh, yeah.
And we had some really special experiences, but it was also just hard too. But that's any show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people just see like the glamorous sides of a show or being on Broadway or being an actor, and they don't know the work, or they're not really aware of the work that goes into it or what happens behind the scenes. And not that it was like a disaster or anything like that. It was just hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. So having that as like, I don't know. It was the gift was ours to borrow.
Wow. Okay.
I love that.
No, that's great. Yeah. I can't even imagine the toll that show would have on your body.
Yeah.
And Larry's constantly dancing throughout the whole
thing. Well, Larry has like the cush track because
he's not standing the whole time.
He's not standing on the line. He gets to like come down and dance his butt off and be in the front and whatever. I mean, he's there to kill the dancing and look pretty. And I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but it's like if you think of like the lineup of, and I can just speak of like the Larrys from that revival, it was myself and then Nick Adams replaced me, and then the tour was like
that.
John Carroll and Brandon Leffler, and then the City City Encores one that they just did was mm-hmm. Ryan Steele. Mm-hmm. So it was
the
company of Larrys.
Yes.
Like they're all like, it's a certain model.
Gorgeous Broadway men.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
For me, they made me really blonde.
Yes.
Which I loved because that was fun and new. And, you know, it was super fun. His track is not as, it's still hard, but having to stand on that line is where the injuries happen.
I'm sure.
Because it's like you sweat and then you're standing there in the cold and your muscles get tight or and you have to hold those positions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're someone like Val, who's got her chest out and in a beveled position, mm-hmm. like the whole time, like no fun.
Yeah.
Wow. I never thought about that, but how crazy.
I wonder if the Ryan Murphy show is going to be like each episode will do one or two of the dancers, because he loves like a flashback mm-hmm. type scenario with mm-hmm. all everything that he does. So we'll get like their life outside of it and like things like that. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder who will be in it.
Well, Lea Michele is without a doubt going to be in it. I don't know if she'll be cast.
You think?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
That's his girl.
That is his girl. But I'm like, the thing is, this is what I will say. And it's nothing against her.
Mm-hmm.
I think with A Chorus Line, and I really hope that they stay true to having dancers in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're, how it was back then and how it is now, there are actors out there that can dance their face off.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and I'm sure, you know, Hollywood, the stunt cast and whatever, but I think there's so many characters in that show that I really hope that they don't just go for names and really find the talent, because the talent is all around,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stay true to like honoring dancers, because it is a show about dancers, you know, and what we go through.
Maybe a little do like Julianne Hough or somebody like that who is like known for being a dancer.
Totally.
Yeah, well, I could totally see her or Derek Hough in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they do dancer.
I think they will. I think, and that was the good thing, at least with Fosse Verdon. You know, they really employed a lot of Broadway people.
Oh, yeah.
They did.
And I think that's what they had to. They had to do that. And I know that there was a search. You know, obviously, Michelle Williams, like, she was unreal as Gwen Verdon.
Oh.
And she worked her butt off with her dancing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they edited that in a way that really highlighted her abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I know with the Anne Ranking role, there was a big search for that because they... and the girl they went with, Margaret... it was great, but she has a background in dance.
Okay.
So I think with the Chorus Line thing, hopefully they'll just, you know, look in this community mm-hmm. or look in the theater communities or the dance communities to find the cast.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so too.
Wasn't the girl who played Margaret?
Margaret.
Wasn't she in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too?
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
I just watched it the other day.
Oh my God, I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, it was so good.
I did too. I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was...
Yes.
I know.
So good.
He's amazing.
That scene when he like really works himself up.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good.
So good.
Yeah. And Brad Pitt was great. He looks so hot.
Yeah, right?
Oh my God. Yes. And his... his speech at the Golden Globes was fun, but I had no idea that movie was about the Manson murders when I went in to see it. And then like Lena Dunham showed up and I was just like, oh, this is where we're going with this.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, it was fascinating.
Yeah.
The revisionist history aspect too, which kind of gave us a happy ending, was nice. And it was cool. It was a great movie.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Tyler, I have to ask about Kristen Chenoweth.
All right.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed with her. We talk about these Ring of Keys moments. I think discovering her in Wicked, you know, when I was a kid, was one of those. Like, just, she's amazing. We saw her most recent Broadway outing, and she's so amazing. What's it like to work with her?
She's the best. She, so Kristen, I first was introduced to Kristen about 9 years ago. Richard J. Alexander, who is her director, he reached out to me. I was living in L.A., and he was like, Kristen is doing something on Dancing with the Stars. They need a choreographer. They're going to be calling you. And at that point, I was like, I don't do that. And
yeah.
He was like, well, here you go. Jump into the deep end. So I did. And I choreographed this number for her on the show. And that was my first time ever even meeting her. Obviously, I knew who she was. But our paths never crossed in the city. And doing that number for her, it connected us. We hit it off. She is exactly what you would hope she would be. She's generous and kind and funny and self-deprecating and an incredibly hard worker. She's a good Southern girl. And then from that, she invited me to come on tour with her as a performer, but also a choreographer tour. And this was
The Coming Home tour, right?
Yeah, well, that was the second part. Okay. The first one was her Some Lessons Learned tour.
Okay.
The Coming Home, it was a special on PBS.
Yes, okay.
But so then I toured with her on and off for 2 years and really got to know her then, and we had a good time, and we've just remained good friends since then. And she's been a huge supporter of mine, and I did a one-man show and she was in my ears and helped mentor me through that. And then this kind of came about, and she has a summer program in Oklahoma. She has her own performing arts center. And so
the Broken Arrow.
Yeah.
Thing.
So
yeah, iconic.
Yeah. No, it's unreal.
Right.
And so then I am on faculty for that. And we just remained good friends thanks to Marco Polo, that app. And
we love Marco Polo.
Wait, it's
Marco Polo.
Fun.
It's amazing. More people need to discover Marco Polo.
They do, because it saves so many relationships of mine, because I'm the worst with communication. Mm-hmm. But that one I'm actually good with.
Like you're walking and like filming.
Yeah, it's just easier. It also makes you more vain because you're just watching yourself talk the whole time. Yeah, and so it's like, you know,
you Marco Polo with Kristen Chenoweth.
I do.
That's so wild.
Not to like let me name drop or whatever.
No.
But that's where it's just kind of, you know, it's made us closer. And so the day after my birthday this year, I got a call from Richard. And he was like, hey, and I knew this show was happening. He was like, we want you to be a part of this. Would you be interested? And I was like, sure, in what way? And he was like, well, Kristen, she wants you to choreograph, and she also just has this idea of you being in the show. And I was like, okay, well, let's talk. And for me, I mean, so much of this business is like people being like, okay, you're going to do this, and then it may happen, it may not.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm just kind of like, all right, well, let's really nail down this idea, and if it happens, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, I got an offer, and it was so quick. It was so quick, but it was so fun, and like I am such a fan of hers, and I'm so glad that she's just continued to bring me on her journey. And that was just like I think 5 weeks total from rehearsal to the end. And
oh, wow.
And I had the best time. And we have a couple more projects coming up. And it's just kind of been a really, I don't know, it's been a fun ride with her.
That's amazing.
I love her so much. And she's a great friend and, you know, a good person.
Oh, that's
I love
music to
that.
My ears. That she's just as amazing as we'd hope.
Yeah.
Also, your moment in that show was kind of at the beginning of Act Two.
Oh yeah.
With like the girl who you think is an usher,
Mimi Scardula.
She was incredible.
Isn't she incredible?
The crowd screamed.
That was insane. I loved that.
Yeah. So so Kristen had a dream. How that came about was Kristen had this dream that she was like, there's this number that I want you to be in, and I had this dream that you were in my show. And so I was like, okay, well, for me, I was like, I would rather just, they had me guest star in two different shows, because mm-hmm. she would have a, you know, kind of a variety of people coming in and guest starring. And but I was like, as far as being in your show every night, I would rather just choreograph so then I can just really watch the show. Yeah. And then she told me what the idea was, and I was like, okay, all right, I like that, and I want to make that happen. But I was like, for me, I was like, it's just going to be easier if I do it. And then I was like, my associate, Mimi Scardula, who is incredibly talented, and mark my words, will be the next Susan Stroman. She's wow. not only an incredible performer, but just creator and choreographer and director and just all around awesome person. Aww. I was like, well, she's my associate, and I want to, I have this idea of where this number will go. Because I want there to be a twist. And
the twist.
And so then basically, and Kristen was totally on board. Also, it was Mimi's, it would be giving Mimi her Broadway debut.
Okay.
Aww. Which Kristen was like, yes, totally. So then, for those of you who don't know, the number, it's called I Want to Be Around. And Kristen's singing about this lover of hers who's just, you know, basically broken her heart. And he keeps going from girl to girl to girl and doing the same thing. And so it was me hopping around from to different people on the stage yeah. and whatever. And then Mimi comes up. She's like an usher because I'm like, that girl. And she comes up and basically does this massive dance break that and ends in a big old like jump split.
Uh-huh.
And then she ends up using me. And then the number yes. kind of takes more of a turn where Kristen gets her revenge. So it her idea, and it was her idea, like came to life, and people responded really well, and and it was super fun.
I loved it.
It was a beautiful evening, and I love that Kristen really gave you your moments to shine too. That was great.
Yeah.
It was so cool to see you do that as well. Yeah.
Thanks.
We're kind of coming towards the end, but I don't want to, because I had one other question for you about Sweet Charity.
Go for it.
Yes. Is it true that there was a rumor that another celebrity might have replaced Christina Applegate and the production would have continued running and everything?
Yeah.
Can you confirm who this person might have been?
Because I had left the show. Okay, so I did about 10 months with Sweet Charity. First let me say, the road to Broadway, I know we're trying to wrap it up.
No, it's
but
okay.
The road
it's
to
okay.
Broadway,
I love
I did,
it.
There was like four of us that did the workshop and then continued to the Broadway run. And so our first charity was Marissa Tomei.
Oh, wow.
In the workshop. It was a different creative team.
Okay.
But the workshop, she was charity.
Wow.
For a day.
Okay.
Maybe two. And then Oscar winner, yes.
Oscar winner, Marissa Tomei.
And then they replaced her with newly minted Tony winner, Jan Krakowski.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Very interesting
and
choice.
And so for the workshop, Jane ended up playing charity. And then for the Broadway run, we all had to audition again, but they kept four of us, and then it was Christina. And Christina was amazing. She's the best. But there was, you know, a lot of drama happening out of town. She got injured.
Right.
We closed. We reopened. And ended up being triumphant, and she killed it. Mm-hmm. I left the show to go do a production of Footloose in Chicago. And while I was gone, they had announced, I had heard, they didn't announce it, but I had heard that they were going to have Britney Spears come in.
I'm shaking.
And for me, like, she is my queen.
Oh, my God. I love
and
that.
I
love
this was
her.
Like, I think she had only had one of the babies at the time.
Okay.
But she was like, so she was rumored to come in. She was going into the studio and working with Wayne.
Whoa.
Facts. This is like what actually happened.
Holy.
I immediately called up stage management and Wayne, and I was like, who's leaving? I'm coming back
yes.
to the show. Because for me, I was like, we're going to be best friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I really believe she would have come back into the show. I ended up coming back into the show.
Yes.
But if she would have done the show, I really feel like I could have saved her life.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Like,
oh my
because
God.
I was like, we would have been best friends, mm-hmm. and then everything would have been different.
Yeah, everything.
But no, she was going to do it, and then I don't know why she didn't.
Okay. What year was it?
This was 2000 and end of 2005, going into 2006.
Okay.
But it was like she had met with Wayne. She had danced with Wayne. It would have been iconic.
Oh my God.
I mean, like, because. And I was so, I mean, somebody left the show. I came back in and I was like, this is happening. And then it wasn't happening. And then we closed and,
yeah.
And then that was that. And
yeah,
she's who she is.
Yes.
And, but God. That, oh God, if that would have happened,
that would have been earth shattering.
A gag.
Yes. Yes.
My wig. Britney yeah. is amazing. Yeah. Are you a huge Britney fan?
See, I, yes. Okay. Yes. That's
yeah,
where,
me too.
Yeah, I am. And I just, in my mind, I still like, I could have saved her.
Well, because that was right before her. Things kind of took a turn yeah. for her, if it was to the end of 2005. Six,
yes.
Yeah. You could have. She needed you, but you know, the stars weren't aligned.
But you yeah. know what? It wasn't supposed to be. And it's funny now because, like, people, my generation, when Britney came onto the scene, I can't believe I'm going into this, but
do
I can
it.
Talk about
no,
this
yeah.
forever.
I love.
When Britney came onto the scene, before 2007 and everything happened, mm-hmm. like she, her talent and everything, like it just, she really like was an inspiration for a lot of people, for myself, mm-hmm. For many people. And then everything happened in 2007. And since then, now this younger generation, they don't know the original Britney. Mm-hmm. They just know what Britney is now.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, you don't know why people are still like rooting for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because life has taken her on a different
definitely
path, but I stan her.
I stan.
Her Instagram is iconic.
Isn't it?
I hope yeah. I hope that she comes back when she's ready. You know, if she ever chooses yeah. to come back as a performer, because I've never seen her live.
No.
Never.
We missed her in Vegas, and that was one of the biggest
yeah.
regrets.
I think ultimately, like, I'm like, I think people should just let her go live her life yeah. and, like, you know, move to Louisiana and just like have her life because
with
like
her babies.
With her babies.
And Jamie Lynn.
And Jamie Lynn.
And her hot boyfriend.
Yeah, he's super
yes.
cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her 12-year-old boyfriend.
Right. yeah.
Get it.
Before we truly finish up though, you have had this long standing successful relationship with your partner Van.
Yes, yes, yes.
How did you guys meet?
Well, we initially we both went to Carnegie Mellon.
Okay.
He was a class above mine. And I was only there for a year, but we didn't really run in the same circles. And then I left after a year. And then a couple of years later, it was the opening night party of Legally Blonde on Broadway. His
yes.
best friend is actor Matt Risch. And
okay.
my best friend is Nikki Snelson, who was Brooke Wyndham. And so
iconic.
We were there.
Yeah, Legally right. Blonde is one of my favorite musicals.
Yeah?
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway.
It's amazing. So I was there with Nikki. He was there with Matt. And we just kind of struck up a conversation. And then we just, you know, have been together now 13 years ever since.
Oh my God. So. That is such an inspiration. That's so incredible.
Yeah, he's the best. I mean, the thing with Van is, and I could talk about him for forever. not only is he super hot and handsome, he's so funny. And we just balance each other really well because, like, I don't know. I feel like I have, being one of seven kids and that big ass family, communication, the lines of communication aren't always the greatest, but something I learned from him very early on was we just constantly have to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad like I'm able to communicate with him better than anybody in the world and vice versa. And I think that's been a part of our success as a couple,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I'm very, very, very lucky to have him in my life and to have found him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because for years we never, like, talked about our relationship. I mean, our friends.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Well, because the thing is, Van made one of his first breaks was as Luke Snyder on As the World Turns. And he played this iconic gay character, and there was a period of time where there were like the first gay kiss on,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying this right,
no,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
like the producing company, or I don't know if it's Procter & Gamble or whatever, was like, no, we can't air this. And
oh,
there was all this controversy.
Drama.
And for us, like, I've always been kind of a private person when it comes to my friends is one thing. Like, my friends and family, they know everything about me. And Van's the same way. But when it comes to, like, the public, you know, they're just things that are ours. And at that point, Perez Hilton was a thing. And
gross.
He had outed us.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And this was, like, 2007. And I remember getting a call from my sister, and she was like, and this was like at the height of him too, because he was a fan of Vans. A friend of mine, we're not friends anymore, was best friends with him. And basically what she later told me in her own words was, I was just trying to help you out with your career.
Oh my God.
And I just remember, because it was such an invasive thing.
Oh yeah.
Because it's not, the thing is for me, like, I'm like, that's not your info to share.
Right.
And like, I'm a performer and I give people 2.5 hours of what they're coming to see. Mm-hmm. But my life is my life. And I've always, you know, believed that. And Van is the same way. And that was just something I'm like, we don't get to share our story because you took it upon yourself to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not your place to do that.
Yep.
And there are people, and I've gotten backlash from people being like, but you're in the public eye. And so like, too bad. Like, no. And I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. Right. I don't agree with that. So then, that happened and we had to deal with, you know, kind of like figure that out. And we did, and it was fine. But we've always kept our relationship to us. And then when Cats came around, I got an opportunity. Playbill.com was like, we want to do an interview with you two. And that, for me, I got to an opportunity to kind of take the power back with it and be able to talk about our relationship and put it out there in my own way and our way. And that kind of was redeeming because I was able to use my voice and not have anybody else speak for me. And now, you know, like, we've been together for so long. I'm so proud of him and I'm so proud of our relationship that I'm not as precious with it anymore. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm not on social media like sharing every little detail, but that's just me. I'm not really nailing the social media game. But, you know, like, we've worked hard on our relationship. And relationships are, as you know, like, and I don't know if you're in one or not, but it's like, the thing is, whether it's new or it's long or it's here or it's long distance, you have to put in the work.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I'm proud of 13 years and I'm proud that Van is in my life and, you know, I'm very, very lucky to have him.
Aw, Tyler, you are amazing. And seeing you guys, and I remember that video where you talked about your relationship. It is such an inspiration. And
thanks.
You really are a strong voice for like the LGBT community and Broadway and in entertainment in general. So
thanks. Wow,
thank
I've
you
never
for
heard
being
that.
There. Your representation truly does matter. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I just think like, I know I'm talking too much and I'm
sorry. Oh my God.
But like, I just kind of, I mean, I'm not a political person at all. I keep those things to myself. But like, when it comes to my life and my family and my friends and my partner, I am fiercely loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I protect that. And like, I will use my voice to stand up for myself and my life or my friends. And that's something with Van. Like, I just remember that moment. It was just such an invasive moment. And to be able to, like, come back to it in our own way. And also now it's just, like I keep saying, it's not as precious anymore. And it doesn't need to be for us.
Sure.
I can only speak for me.
Absolutely.
But I had to get on my journey and get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different, you know? And I think that nowadays, especially with social media and how things are progressing, people, there's this pressure to, you have to be this, you have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have social media, then you have to use your voice. And I think to each his own.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody is different and everybody's comfort levels are very different. And I think you have to be true to you and where you're at in that moment, because it's going to be out there forever.
Yeah.
100%.
You know,
you reclaimed your time, your story.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know?
Okay, so since we're wrapping up, we like to end on a dramatic note.
I love that.
With a little dose of drama.
Do it.
This could be maybe like a Golden Globe loss that you're still mourning, maybe a show you're binging, or some new music you like, or maybe, I don't know, the ghost of a former lover haunting you and seeming to appear on every street corner possible. But anyway.
Oh, wow.
You know, or it could just be like the daily traumas of living in New York.
I'm happy to go first with my dilemma.
Go for it.
Mine is just that I had the best week with my boyfriend Hunter, who I mention all the time on this podcast. And I don't know when I'm going to see him again. We do long distance, and it might be more than a month and a half, 2 months maybe.
Where is he?
He's in Ohio in college. Okay. He's an actor.
Gotcha.
And it will hit our 4-year anniversary mark within that time period.
Oh, sad.
And so
we won't be together, I mean.
Together for it. Like, I'm sad. But Hunter, I love you, and I am thankful for the week we spent together. And my drama is just that I'm sad. I'm going to miss him.
Oh, yeah. Sad. I was going to say something else, but I'm suddenly, my dose of drama is that I can't believe Perez Hilton was a thing. And it, like, the salacious, just low, quote unquote, journalism that Perez did.
He also famously
spoiled
season 3 winner of RuPaul's Drag
That's
Race
right.
on
really?
His blog.
I didn't know that.
Because he used to film it just with like one winner, and he spoiled it for everyone.
Oh.
And now they film multiple endings to try and trick the audiences. Yeah. But look at all these things that he's ruined.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing with him, and it's interesting because I've crossed paths with him a couple times, and I've never. Like, I had such negative feelings about him for a long time, and then I got over it, and now I'm kind of indifferent with him. But the times, because I ran into him, and I was like, I just want to say something, but then I was like, you know what? Like, it's not worth it, and I don't know. I wish him well. I don't know what's happening in his life. I hope he's happy. I'm like one tiny speck of like the chaos that he caused with a lot of people, because I know his agenda for so long was so negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a big backlash with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that in that backlash, he had a come to Jesus moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, you know, like, I don't, having to tear people down in order to lift yourself up, I don't think is, I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah, same, you know? Same.
Mm-hmm. So I wish him well. And
yes.
Sure.
I know. It's like Taylor Swift says in her song, I Forgot That You Existed. This is from her new album, Lover. She says it isn't love, it isn't hate, it's just indifference.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love
that. That's you about Perez.
Come on.
No, Tyler, do you have any sort of dose of drama?
I'm trying to think about a dose of drama right now. And like, you know, I can't. Stuff that I binged. I actually, in the past day, have binged all of The Politician.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That Ryan Murphy show.
Yep. Which did not feature Lea Michele. I know we
Which
mentioned.
Did not.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, I really enjoyed it. I've always been a Ryan Murphy fan.
Yeah.
And really want to be in his troupe of actors. Like, I really want to be on
you
American
are,
Horror Story.
You are his, like, type of guy.
Well,
because
he has the same.
Yeah, Matt Bomer.
Like, brunette, blue-eyed, you know, Caucasian guy.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I fit that mold, dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I did a small thing on Pose on season 1, and he was directing. And
oh my God.
I just need him to come and see Cats.
Yeah.
I just need, because I will, like, give him a show and whatever.
Yeah.
But alas, that didn't happen, but at some point, I know it will.
He has so many things cooking
now.
So
many things. But I really liked it. I didn't know my sister was in town, and I'm a big, like, my partner and I will just, we don't watch a lot of TV, but we'll binge stuff when we have the time. And so we just binged all of, like, the new season of Holiday Baking Championship because
I heard
Kristen.
I heard that's great.
Kristen. Christmas. Kristen's still on the mind.
Mm-hmm. Always for me.
But then I binged that, and it was good. It was really
good.
Ben Platt was great. Them. And, like, you know, they give you Judith Light and Bette Midler on the very last episode, which I was like, I could have had them a little earlier because I love them.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. National but treasures.
Judith Light, to me, ugh.
She actually was in my dream last night, unrelated, but yes, Caroline.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird.
Yeah. No, it's good. I liked it. His stuff I tend to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing of his that I really liked was Nip Tuck.
Right.
Many, many years ago, and so I'm a fan, and I liked it.
We're going to will into existence a bigger role
for you
in the Murphyverse.
Let's do it.
Yeah. What did you do on Pose?
Oh, I was like, I was a heckler. There was this scene with two of the leading actresses, and we shot it at Julius's downtown, and I looked like Patrick Swayze. They gave me like a pomp and it was freezing cold that night. What I was wearing was cool, but I basically had to just like walk through the bar and just shout out some negativity at the two lead actresses.
I remember this scene.
Yeah, it was like a blink and you'll miss it moment. It was.
I remember this scene.
It was like, I think it was in the first or second episode. I don't really remember, but I went in and I auditioned for like three different things.
Okay.
On the same day. And then a while later, my agent was like, so you got this one of those things. And I was like, I don't remember what it was. I don't remember. Great. I'll do it. And yeah. it was, you know, like, please. It was a lot of fun, and it was freezing cold, and I got to look like, you know, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
I love it.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I only expect to see more of you in the future, whether you're choreographing on Broadway and Ryan Murphy's world and everything. And our followers can find you at The Tyler Haynes on Twitter and Instagram.
You got it.
Yes, follow him. You can also follow, you know, if you want. You can follow me at Connor McDowell.
And you could follow me at Dylan McDowell.
Oh, wait, Tyler, you're amazing.
Thank you guys for having me. This was super fun.
Yeah. Thanks for bravely agreeing to do this.
Oh, please. My pleasure. My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.